Holy Gospel is written in the chapter of St. John, chapter 14, verses 8 to 17.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, I have been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, but if you do not then believe me because of the works themselves, very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. Have the children come forward. And I think at least one of your parents, because this is a real difficult children's sermon today, so we need one of your parents to come forward also to help you. Okay, I have a numbers now. If you take 1 plus 1, plus one, what do you get?
33.
Are you sure? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in school you're right, but in church you're wrong. Because in church, 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 1. Did you know that? And you probably don't believe me either, do you? Okay, we talk about God as being a Trinity. Now, this is something that if you understand it, you can explain it to everyone here, because even I as a preacher don't understand it. But we talk about God the Father who created the world, right? And we talk about who saved us? Jesus. And we talk about the Holy Spirit. And today we're celebrating the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so do we believe in three gods then? No. We still believe in one God. Now, how can that be? If you go to school and tell your teacher 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 1, they'll say you better go back a couple grades, right? Yeah, but when we talk about God, we say we just have one God. And so it's something that is part of our Christian faith, but we really don't understand it. But that's because God is God, and we don't understand God, do we? We try our best to understand it, but it's sometimes sort of difficult. So let's pray about that. Dear Lord, we thank you that you are a God that are much smarter than we are and much more above us, but yet you come down to love us and care for us. And so we thank you for the God that you are. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. I don't know if your mom was much help, but anyway. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I said, today we're going to talk about the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I was thinking this morning, our grandson was confirmed just the Sunday after Easter. And he did a project for his confirmation. And that project was he went to the kids in his class, his high school. No. Oh, he's not in high school, is he? Eighth grade class. And he asked them, what would happen to you if you died tonight? And the answers he got was interesting. Some said, I'd go to hell. Some said, nothing, because I don't believe God exists. Some said, I don't know. Some said, purgatory. And some said, I'd go to heaven. That was amazing to me, all the answers he got. And there weren't that many that said they would go to heaven. And some of them said, I don't know. That was the other answer. Well, we need to know what we're about and who we are in the church. And so if someone were to ask you, what do you believe? You could recite to them the Apostles' Creed. Now, you might think it's a little stilted by going through it. I believe God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, Jesus Christ, so forth. But that really is what we believe. And that really states our faith. Now, the Baptists, I would say, we don't use creeds because they're man-made. Well, yeah, they're man-made, but we could, every point in the creed, we could prove, if we needed to prove it, right? And we'd say, this is what says this or that. So we want to begin. We begin, I believe. Now, that could be sort of generic, like I could say, I believe that God exists. Well, that's nice. But let's say you had a friend who was very athletically prone, and he says, I'm going to stretch a tight wire across Niagara Falls, and I'm going to push a wheelbarrow across it. And you say, I know him, and I think he could do it. And then you say, and I'm going to get in the wheelbarrow. Now, that's what it means to, I believe. So we really believe in God. We trust in him, okay? But then we say, I believe in God. Well, we know some gods, people had a child worship. They would kill their babies to offer to the gods. Some gods are cruel. I mean, God could just like that zap us with lightning and kill us if he wanted to, if we do something wrong. Is that the kind of God we believe in? How do we know what God is like? Well, we know his son, right? We know Jesus. Jesus came into this world to save us from our sins. Jesus loves us. He cares us. He showed that to us. He said, believe in me and you will be saved. And so because of his son, we say the son is like the father. And so we believe in God. It's a good God. It's a God that isn't going to do what some other gods might do. So we say, I believe in God the Father. I had a father. My father had six children. I was the oldest of six. He was a very kind and caring father. I loved him. He loved me. He wouldn't ask me to do anything that he wouldn't do himself. You know, I grew up on a farm. Of course, there's a lot of work to do there. I could tell you things that he did wrong, but he was a good father. Now, some of you here might have had a father who wasn't a good father. There are fathers who are abusive, fathers who are hurtful of their spouse and or children. And so you might say, I don't know if I like that part of the creed. I believe in God the Father. But we need to think of father as the term in the way that a father is supposed to be understood. And those of you who are men here or fathers, you know, that says something to you. It's important that the role model that you are for, whether it be your own children or other children around you, if our kids are gone or if we never had kids, whatever the situation might be. So we say, I believe in God the Father Almighty. My father did the best he could, but he wasn't almighty. He couldn't take away all the pains in life. And of course, we know that even with God the Father Almighty, he doesn't take away all the pains that we go through. But he's there with us. He helps us. He gives us what we need. And then it says, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator. It said, we say maker of heaven and earth. But I think that's the one word I would change in the creed to creator. Because God is a creator. He created the world. He created us. You know, I think the Babylonian creation myth has a big lion or a big, what was it? Anyway, something cut in two and a part of it was thrown out and became the moon, and a part of it was thrown out and became the earth. And the, if we think of the earth that way, then the earth is something that is bad, destroyed by something bad, right? But our faith as Christians or Jews is that God created the world out of nothing. And it was good. And you remember the creation stories. God did this, he did that. And it says, and it was good. And God rested, and then we go on to the next day. So the earth is made out of something good, not something bad. and the whole world around us. So I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Believe that he has created us and that we are separate from the other animals in the world. Think of the animals that you know of in the world. I think God had a great sense of humor in creating a giraffe with a long neck, or a trunk with a trunk. Elephant, right? An elephant with a trunk, you know. That is really something. Or an ugly hippopotamus. You know, there's a big, fat, nothing sort of like, but I'm told they can really move fast if they decide they need to, as is true with many other animals. Think about the animal. You know, my favorite deer is a muley deer because it's like they're on springs. They just hop, you know. I've never seen another animal quite like. I just love a muley, you know. Think of the other animals that we have around here. And I've just done lamp, and then we got the birds. Nancy and I like to feed the birds at home, and we've got, what's the one with the yellow head and what's it called?
Tanager.
I think western tanager. Mm-hmm. Really pretty. Or we get the woodpeckers come once in a while, or those dumb blackbirds. I don't like them, but they're part of God's creatures too. And then he created little worms, you know, that go in the earth, and they make my garden good. But then there's bugs there that eat my plants. I don't like them. I think of the fish, from a goldfish to a whale that is tons and tons, or sharks, or the good eating, you know, like catfish or trout or whatever. Think of all of, and then we haven't gotten to the flowers or the trees, the mountains. Just think of the world God has made. And then sometimes we get into these arguments about, well, did we evolve from animals? And we talk about evolution. How many of you have been out guarding, hunting, have ever seen a deer at an altar praying? You know, have you, Jan, you've done, have you ever seen that?
No, sure.
No, because animals don't have that relationship to God. But we as human beings, we have a need to have a relationship with God in some way. And that's why you're here today, to worship God. Because we have a need, that we feel this need to be with God. So we talk about evolution, I think we say, well, there are some things that evolved in creation, and that's the way God has done it. God has created the world. We talk about God and science. We say, well, you got to believe either in the Bible or in science. I don't think that's true. Someone has said science is thinking God's thoughts after him. Scientists are just trying to figure out how God did what he did or continues to do. Then one of the big issues today is abortion, or when does life begin? Now if we look at Jeremiah and Isaiah, says, and God knew me when I was in my mother's womb. I wonder if God doesn't know us sometimes even before we're conceived. I've never heard that thing espoused, but I think there would be an argument to be made there. Or does life begin when we're conceived? Does it begin at approximately 6 weeks when you hear the first heartbeat? Does it begin when we're born? I think these are issues that, you know, I think Larry has mentioned this before, we need to discuss with each other. You know, I know all the right answers, but not ever all of you do, you know. And so, but we need to discuss them and say, here's what I believe and here's why I believe. And be able to do it without making the other person a bad person, you know. We need to be able to have opposing and opposite and different views. When does life begin? I think that's one thing we should discuss in church. I think I've heard about, you know, test tube babies or whatever. You can do things even outside of, you know, I'm not sure how that works. But sometimes we need to be discussing those things rather than scientists leading us in these ways. We need to be leading them and saying, here's what we think people should know on this. And then another one is the world that we have. Some people say that we have 12 years and the world is going to cease to exist. Well, when I was in seminary, that's what people said too. And they said that by 1988, the world would end, or by 2000 at the latest, it would end. Now, that hasn't happened. And so I think sometimes it becomes a political thing and a power thing. But we all would say, as Christians, I think we would agree that we are to care for creation. And so how do we go about caring for creation? And here, too, I think is where we need to have discussions and talk about, here's, you know, I saw a thing on TV about the plastics in the ocean, and it's just, and I like to watch these Alaska shows, you know, and in one they threw, they think a gun was thrown in a lake, so they go down there and the garbage that they find there, and I would think at least, I know people lived in Alaska should be more responsible, don't you think, you know? It should be pristine, and to see this garbage there, it's like, oh, yuck, you know? But that's something that we as human beings have created, and so what are we going to do about it? How are we going to clean that up? I remember back in seminary, we showed the pictures of Los Angeles, and I mean it was cloudy because of all the pollution in the air. I don't think you see that in Los Angeles today. So we have made progress, and we probably made regress in other ways, you know? And so all this comes under the heading, I would say, of the first article, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. But I want you to open your hymnals to page 1172. George, forget it. You won't be able to read it. I can hardly read it. Nancy and Dr. Johns thinks I need cataract surgery, and I tell them I don't. I see just fine. They just make the print so small. You know, that's not my fault. But here you see the creed, and you see Luther's meaning to the creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. Oh, it says creator there. They were doing what I told them to do. What is this? I believe, Luther says now, I believe that God has created me together with all that exists. God has given me and still preserves my body and soul, eyes, ears, all limbs and senses, reason and all mental faculties. In addition, God daily and abundantly provides shoes and clothing, food and drink, house and farm, spouse and children, fields, livestock, and all property. This is a more agrarian society, but you understand what he's getting at here. Along with all the necessities and nourishments for this body and life. God protects me against all danger and shields and preserves me from all evil. All this he does out of pure, fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness of mine at all. And for all this I owe to God to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. We see Luther had a lot more here than I had to say. I thought I had it all together, but Luther, this is what God has done for us. And so I think we closed with saying, for all this, I owe it to God to thank and praise and serve and obey him. And what's the last words? This is most certainly true. Amen. We'll continue with the next hymn.